coming up, we got dual two-putters, dueling kidnappers, and it's all left up to one man. All this more coming up on the first of our two-part episode of
Podcast of the Night, Power Ninja.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this, the 8th episode of Podcast Sentai Power Rangers. It's the 8th episode, right? Anyways, I'm your host for this extravaganza of two-parters. I'm Siddiqui, but you may know me better on these here internets as Kuhan, and I'm joined, as always, by my faithful lackey, Colton Clayton. How you doing, Colton?
Oh, fantastic. Just rebooting my existence come September.
Fantastico. I see what you did there, and let's not explain it to our fans. Let's just go ahead and delve into this, the first part of our two-parter episode of Podcast Sentai Power Rangers, because there was two-parters this week.
So many parters.
So we have a two-parter because they had at least a two-parter. They both said to be continued at the end, right?
Something along those lines.
Something along those lines. So let's get right into it with Power Rangers Samurai. Alright, so this episode of Samurai gets right on into it. Right in the beginning, we have Zandrid, Master Zandrid. He's all, like, growing powerful, and everyone's like, oh, man, it would be really awful if another Nylock came and tried to take his power, right? And then,
Not his power, but his position.
His position, that's right, his position. And then, all the Moogers show up and they beat them, right away. They get the Zord battle out of the way.
Which was an interesting touch because no one summoned them. Just hundreds of giant ones just started popping out of the ground.
Yeah, well, they were there because there was nobody to stop them from popping out of the ground.
Now, that makes me wonder, is the villain really so bad if he only has occasional things of invasion versus what they do without a leader, which is just run ransacked through the city in mass?
Well, if they all run out and, just all get defeated right away, then there's none left, and I guess it would be bad.
If I was a leader of that thing, I would have seen every single thing giant form at once, all thousands of them. There's no way they could have won against a swarm like that.
Well, anyway, so they fight the giant Moogers and we get the battle out of the way with Antonio showing us North Mode. I'm not sure if we saw it last time, but we definitely saw North Mode this time. That's the mode that he used. And then Arachnator shows up and's like, I'm gonna take your power, bro. So
apparently this is not the first time either.
No, it's apparently not. He's a treacherous traitor. you'd think his name would be Treacheron.
Meanwhile, the good guy Sinestro comes in.
See what you did there. Anyways, so they fight for he comes down and says, "Hey, Octaroo, come help me out." It's like, I don't know, but okay. And then and then the Rangers go to the Tengen Gate and they find Lothor. Daisuke and
Lothor.
So they find Daisuke.
Okay. Actually, would that be Daisuke?
It's Daisuke.
No, I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Daisuke.
I don't know. All I heard was Daisuke, and that must be the pronunciation, because if they say it, that's right, right?
I don't know. We should ask Yusuke, or maybe Sasuke. Maybe they'd know.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's Daisuke because that's what they said in the show.
And, these Americans trying to speak Japanese are never wrong.
Of course. That's why we get, we get something else. I don't know. I'm sure there was something else, some other thing that was awfully pronounced. Like, I'm sure Uramas is probably pronounced wrong, but whatever. Let's just keep talking. And so Daisuke teaches them about some past Nylock who was I guess had a girlfriend or a wife or something, and she, you know, had her husband or boyfriend turned into a Nylock, but she also got cursed. And you know, Mia's like, that sounds, she looks kind of like someone I know.
And not very subtle, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more.
Anyways, so with Antonio, who isn't with the other five, he's just hanging out, and then he notices Decker, and he goes, hey, I see you've accepted my challenge. Come eat my fish.
Oh, this is going to be a running gag, I feel.
Yes, so...
Especially since, as we find out, even though he cooks it, once he runs off, the guy doesn't even bother eating it.
I don't know if it's a running gag, because I think, you know, Decker now knows, as we'll find out later. He gets a call, because Jaden gets poisoned by Octaroo. Jaden gets poisoned, and the other four Rangers have to go fight Eractator, who takes care of them pretty easily. And so Antonio shows up, and he's like, Decker follows him, and Decker finds out that Antonio, this weird fisherman who keeps trying to feed him fish randomly out of nowhere, is the Gold Ranger. And it's like, OMGs, yo, dollar bills.
Okay, I don't think he speaks quite like that, but okay.
And then, at the end,
the big abduction.
Yes, at the end. We get, you know, the head-to-head kidnapping episodes where Decker abducts Jaden, and then the other four Rangers are incapacitated, which leaves everything up to Antonio. He's like, no, what do I do? And then Xandrid takes care of Arachnator by giving him all of his new power.
I would say that's more of an attack than giving power.
No, I'm pretty sure he gave him all of his power to see how he can handle it.
Well, that would be useful, use of your Kadusha power. I'm giving it up to you. Now explode.
He'll take it back, obviously. And yeah, I love Dagi's like, you know, I think Octaroo tried to betray you too. He's like, nah, he just poisoned the Red Ranger. That's initiative.
Yeah, that traitor over there is no good, but this traitor over here, he's got spunk.
Yeah. So what did you think of this episode? It's the first part of a two-parter, so, you know, we don't get the whole thing. We have the first half, and the second half will be next week, hopefully.
Yeah, and I'm very interested that they're still doing more foreshadowing on a Jaden secret.
Yes, yes.
I'm really starting to wonder if they're going to push for the reveal of who the Red Ranger's supposed to be. I think Jaden's poisoned, and you know Decker's going to try to force him to fight, so I could see this being a double kill.
I doubt Decker's going to force him to fight if he's poisoned, because he wants the ultimate battle, and, you know, last two times Jaden was even slightly injured, Decker was like, well, I can't fight you because, you know, you're preoccupied or you're injured, so...
Something tells me even if he does recover, he's going to try to make the fight happen even if he's not fully recovered.
I don't think so, because previous...
Not Decker, I'm saying Jaden.
Oh, Jaden. Jaden might make the fight happen, that's possible. But it seems like Decker's going to be like, no, listen, yo, I don't want to fight you.
You know, it would honestly be the perfect time, because he would actually try less actively to kill you while you're in a weakened state. So if you could get off a good lucky shot, you might actually be able to take the guy out before he can try to fight you seriously.
Possibly. Yeah, we did get a bunch of, more foreshadowing of Jaden's secret, which, to fans of Shinkenger, it's probably that it's his sister is supposed to be the Red Ranger. We assume, you know, we're not there yet, but they had that footage, and apparently Samurai's been following pretty closely to Shinkenger, and the what's his name, Jonathan Zacher, is you know, a huge Sentai fan, so that's probably where they're going. But
just in advance, spoiler warning for the past few episodes, and we mentioned this a couple of times.
Well, this show is all spoiler. We probably should mention at the beginning of the episode, hey guys, there's going to be spoilers. Anyway,
yes, it's about 6-7 episodes in. Hey guys, by the way, all these episodes have been kind of spoiler filled.
Yes. Anyways, yeah, and then we also get what's clearly a lot of Decker's backstory. You know, we learn why he doesn't know anything and why he's forgotten everything and why Dayu is in love with him. I don't know if she remembers that she was a human or not.
But she at least does remember him.
Yeah, she does remember him.
It's a very confusing situation for the guy. I'm not sure if he was supposed to remember, but the sword has been clouding his memory, you know, driving him for that ultimate fight.
Who knows? Because, I don't know, because he said Daisuke did say that he specifically pointed out that he doesn't remember anything, so.
Okay, enough with the Daisuke.
That's his name. It's not Daisuke, it's Daisuke. That's his name. Just because it's supposed to be pronounced Daisuke, just because he pronounces it wrong doesn't mean he's wrong. Plenty of people pronounce their names wrong.
Well, that reminds me of that one guy who has a business in his commercial. His name's French, but he pronounces it in the most inappropriate way. It's like, it's your own last name, you dumbass.
Like Stephen Colbert. Or I had this friend his name was Stephen, and he pronounced it Stefan.
Anyways, moving along from that little nonsensical ramble. Yes.
Anyways, so yeah, what did you think of the episode?
I think it was nice that we finally got to see a combination with the Octazord and his new little crab buddy.
That's not what we had before, right? Like last episode, because I was kind of zoned out last episode, but it wasn't the Octazord and the crab combining to make the Octazord.
No, it was just straight up the crab one.
Okay.
Well, then the whole setup. It's nice to see that they're making gradual progress. They're starting to use their power more effectively. They're starting to crush through fodder like it's nothing now.
Yeah, yeah.
They got their team dynamic coming together, but it's really a concern about where this next part will go, because what are they going to do with four of their members injured and one of their members not only poisoned, their leader's poisoned and kidnapped.
Well, I do love that. That the folding zords, you know, they'll have their sequence. But for both of Antonio's, they come out of his fishing thing.
Yeah, they're just hanging out.
They just come out of his fishing like their sequence is that they come out of his fishing cooler and grow, and that's hysterical.
I guess it's nice and roomy in there.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you know, they're small. They're you know, there's only two of them. It's not like he has to have lug around, you know, 20 giant things. It's two little small ones.
Yeah, it's a nice little touch that he does things a little bit differently than everyone else. A little bit of individuality never hurts, even in samurai. Well, maybe it does in actual samurai, but this show is fine.
Yes.
Let's see. Did we forget anything important? Let's see. We talked about Decker and Xandrid.
We talked about Decker again because we keep forgetting to.
We talked about the betrayals. We talked about the generic cannon fodder fight and the spider fight, which. Everyone else got their ass kicked but Jayden, who was poisoned.
Right.
We talked about the flashback stuff.
We did get a cool scene where you know, Octo was like, hey man, just show me the symbol of power that'll Xandrid away and I'll give you the antidote, and he's like, never.
Which was a nice touch, you know, the hero's like too brave to give in, even if the cost of his own life.
Sure.
Although admittedly it'd be kind of a useless symbol if he died and the symbol was lost for all time.
Well, it wouldn't be lost for all time. I'm pretty sure, like, G knows the symbol. He just can't do it himself. Because he's not a samurai ranger.
He probably could be.
Kind of weird, yeah. Like, was he a ranger at some point? Or was he just always the mentor? Is like, the mentors passed down from generation to generation? Like, son, you're the mentor now, so follow me around and check out what's going on? Or is he, like, Mike's dad?
Well, that would make this whole situation very confusing.
It would be weird.
But yeah, unless we had a Bulk and Spike scene, I think we've covered everything.
There was no Bulk and Spike scene. This was a pretty serious episode, you know, aside from the Antonio Decker scene.
He's starting to cut in on Bulk and Spike's time.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying, man. It's the comedy relief stuff has shifted over to Antonio, so you know you get a little bit less, because now that you have a ranger with comedy relief, you don't have as much of the comedy relief characters.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Apparently, you know, I think Paul Schreier or Felix Ryan tweeted, you know, put out over Twitter that they're gonna have a Bulk and Spike episode, so.
Which is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
So, have we covered everything of Samurai, you think?
I think we have. It seems kind of short, but I guess we've covered everything of Samurai.
Well, we're only covering a 20-minute episode. It's not like we can just drag this out to an hour of each episode.
Well, I'm sure we could.
Oh, we could, but it'd be annoying.
I'm pretty sure dragging that to 10 minutes is annoying. So I guess, except to our biggest fan, Tokudeka. That's right, he just got a shout-out. So I guess with that, we can move on into, we can make a show of it with Kaiju Sentai Go Kaiju. So this episode started off with them saying, "Hey Navi, let's navigate for treasure." And she's like, "Okay, danger, 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 Asu, you got some danger in store for you," or something like that, or something cutesy that rhymed.
Danger, danger, dangerous.
Yes. So they're like, "Uh-oh, something dangerous is happening." Oh well, whatever. And then they notice that they notice that the bounty on their heads has gone up. And now, in no time, they'll be worth the same as the Red Pirates. And Marvel's like, haha, whatever, throw that newspaper away. And then they navigate for treasure. Anyways, so then a Zangyak battleship shows up. And they're like, what's going on? Is that, and Walls goes like, are those reinforcements? And, what's his name? Domerus is like, no, it's actually, it's one, or no, was it Barizarg? One of them is like, actually, it's a pirate that we contracted. Like, what is going on, yo? And then, so they all go down to Earth and like, whatever's, you know, it's, I guess let's look for treasure or something. And Doc slips on a banana peel, as usual. And then they find Marvelous's old friend, Bosco Ta something. Bosco Ta Jolokia. Yeah, that's who they find. Bosco.
Just say Bosco.
Bosco. And he's like, "Yo, man, you betrayed us." Apparently this is the week of treachery and abduction.
And flashbacks.
Lots and lots of flashbacks. So Bosco is like, Marvelous is kind of angry at Bosco, and they're like, "Yo, man, we gotta fight." And then, Giant Sigourmand show up, and, they have to run away, for some reason, instead of just fighting them.
It's kind of hard to continue a fight when you're surrounded by giant monsters.
Well, you know, they could become... Or did they fight them? I think they did fight them.
They did fight the Scormen.
Right.
They transformed and they even showed off several ranger powers, much to Bosco's delight.
They did. They showed the magic Gokaio.
They also showed the Deka Gokaio.
Did they show the Deka Gokaio? How did I miss that?
Yeah, they showed both. They were attacking, and first these magic Gokaio to take out one, and then they transformed into Deka Gokaio to finish the other ones off.
I must have missed that, but I do remember the transforming into magic Gokaio, so clearly I'm just stupid. Anyways, after that they go back on the ship, and Marvelous flashes back to their days as the Red Pirate Gang, and you know it was Akka Red who was always transformed, which was weird. It would have been cool to see Toro Furia out of the costume as Akka Red. But anyways, we had Akka Red, you know, just there, and he's like, "Yo, yeah, you know, we're gonna find the greatest pirate treasure." And then a bunch of Gormen show up in what was still the Gokaio. I don't know if it had a different name back then, but it was still the Gokaio. And a bunch of Gormen show up and like, "What's going on?" And then Bosco's like, "Haha, yeah, I'm taking the treasure for myself, guys. Sucks to be you." And then we get the scene where Akka Red gives Marvelous all the Ranger keys, and you know, we found out through this episode that Akka Red and Marvelous knew each other before. It wasn't just that he randomly gave him the Ranger keys.
They had an entire history together working as pirates and trying to get those treasures back. And then he escapes at the cost of Aqua Red, or at least we assume the cost.
I mean, we assume that, but honestly, Aqua Red was in the great battle, wasn't he?
Can you really assume that he dies from this, because he's literally the spirit of the Red Rangers? Does he just go Obi-Wan on us, where he it's like, Luke, use the Force?
Well, Marvelous, use the Force. We had he was in the great battle, so I don't know if it just that he didn't die or something like that. I don't know. He was definitely in the great battle, I think. So,
well, no one really died in the great battle. It's just that they lost their powers.
Well, right, no, but he couldn't have died if he was in the great battle, right? Or was this, or would this be after the great battle?
This would clearly be after the great battle, because they're reclaiming the powers that were lost. They didn't lose the battle. They didn't lose their powers and have the Ranger keys created until after the great war.
Because Aqua Red could always transform into the previous Red Rangers.
Well, obviously, but clearly, you know, the powers aren't just running around freely until after they lose them.
Right, okay, so this was after the Great Battle. So we don't know if Aqua Red's dead or not. Preferably, hopefully he's not.
He's probably going to show up in the movie.
Probably. He'll probably show up at some point, maybe even in a later episode. But anyways, yeah, so Bosco was, you know, betrayed them, and we learn all this stuff, and then... And then Marvelous goes down to Earth and to find Bosco and fight him. And so he finds him and is like, listen, yo, man, we're going to fight now. So Bosco's like, haha, yeah, let's fight. Hold on, let me get out my awesome trumpet and stick 5 Ranger keys into it and then play the trumpet. And then he plays the trumpet and five, six Rangers pop out of nowhere.
Five.
That's what I said. Five. Five sixth Rangers.
Oh, I thought you said five or six.
No, 5/6 Rangers pop out of nowhere, out of thin air. They're created from the trumpet or whatever.
Should we specialize which six Rangers these are?
It's Dragon Ranger, who was the green Mighty Morphin Power Ranger, King Ranger from O Ranger, or the Gold Ranger from Zeo, Time Fire, who is the Quantum Ranger from Time Force, Shurikenger, who is the green Samurai Ranger from Ninja Storm. And Dekka Break, who is the Omega Ranger from SPD.
So quite a little setup there. It seems to be 5-on-1 at first, because he tricked him into thinking it was 1-on-1, but then he sent out all 5.
Yes,
but then
it's 5-on-1, and then Marvelous's friends show up. The Gokai just all show up, and they're like, 5-on-1, that's not fair. So we're here too. So now it's 5-on-5. So that's slightly more fair.
Well, slightly, because they're 6 Rangers.
Right. But the Gokaigers, you know, they're having some trouble at first, and then they take the 6 Rangers down. And so Marvelous goes up to Bosco and is like, all right, listen, dog, it's you and me. We are gonna fight and all that. But Bosco, he doesn't play so fair. He goes, you thought those were the only ones I had. Well, you see, oh, it's interesting to note that when they beat the 6th Rangers who appeared out of thin air, they just transform into Ranger keys and fall to the floor. But Boss goes like, haha, you thought I was gonna play fair. So he
had already pre-summoned 10 other
10 other 6th Rangers. We have Kiba Ranger, the White Ranger from Mighty Morphin, Mega Silver, who is the silver in Space Ranger, Gao Silver, who is clearly the silver the Lunar Wolf Ranger from Wild Force, Abarekila, who is the White Ranger from Dino Thunder, Boken Silva, who is the Silver Ranger from the Mercury Ranger from Operation Overdrive, the Go-On Wings, who are the Silver and Gold Ranger from RPM, which I did not watch, which is why I couldn't think of it. I will watch it, guys. I promise. Shinken Gold, who obviously is the Gold Ranger from Samurai, who we've grown accustomed to, and Gosei Knight, who is the Sixth Ranger from Gosager, who we haven't seen yet because we haven't watched Gosager and hasn't come over to America yet. And so they.
It's worth noting that with maybe one or two exceptions, this is we've seen every sixth Ranger in this episode.
I think it's all of them actually.
I've actually heard that they like skipped like one or two that are like never seen in sixth Ranger scenes.
It was Dragon Ranger from G-Ranger. We got Kiba Ranger from Die Ranger. I don't think Kaka Ranger had one. They had Ninjor in America. They had the Ninjor guy, so he doesn't really count.
I think it might have been from an older series. I'm not sure.
Those don't count though. Kiba Ranger, Dragon Ranger is the first one that actually counts as a sixth Ranger in Sentai folklore. In Sentai lore, Dragon Ranger is the first sixth Ranger, officially. So I think that's it. I mean, technically, Aberra Killer is a fifth Ranger, and Gon, Gold, and Silver are the sixth and seventh Rangers. But other than that, and I guess Decabre kind of counts. I mean, he's technically the sixth Ranger, but I think he showed up seventh. Which it's kind of weird. At least in America, he showed up seventh, I think. But I think this is all of the sixth Rangers that are officially counted as sixth Rangers.
Which is interesting that we get this kind of set up for all of them at once.
Is it all of them? I guess Magna Defender technically doesn't count. There wasn't one in GoGo 5, which is Lightspeed Rescue. What was after that? After that was Time Force. We got that. We got Wild Force. We got the Hurricanger, the Aberra Ranger, the Deca Ranger, the Maji Ranger. He showed up too, right? Yeah, Maji Shine. I didn't mention him, but he showed up. He was there. Maji Ranger. We had what was after that? After that would be after Mystic Force. Would be what was that?
At least according to the previewed silver costume, 15 of them are recognized as six Rangers.
Yeah, and this is 15, three to each. So 15 are recognized as six Rangers, and we got 15 of them. So
I just remember hearing that someone mentioned that there was someone else that usually was counted as silver Rangers or six Rangers among fans, but was ignored.
Officially, like Sentai official, the first official six Ranger was Dragon Ranger.
Trying to think of what I was thinking of though.
I'm sure there were other ones before, but officially Dragon Ranger was the first one.
Worth noting about this whole scenario is that it's revealed that Marvelous thought they'd gotten all the Ranger keys, but apparently according to Bosco, Ocarina never revealed that there were more keys that they'd never gotten, and that he had found the six Ranger keys.
So interesting. So then Bosco he abducts all of the other Rangers, besides Marvelous, and he's left alone. To go save them, much like Antonio was left alone in Samurai.
But I do have an interesting feeling about this next episode or two, because there is technically one Six Ranger key he probably doesn't have, and that's Gokai Silver.
That is true, because that's not necessarily fully a key right away. You know, I guess we don't really know how the Gokai just get their powers, but he doesn't necessarily have the Gokai Silver key, which would be interesting if he did all that and then transformed into Gokai Silver. And it's like, hey, what now?
I have a feeling that Marvelous has that hidden away somewhere. Maybe it was given to him.
That would be
from Ocarina.
That would be a cool, interesting thing to happen. That Marvelous has it lying around, and then Marvelous transforms into Gokai Silver, right away, you know, and then he can't control the power or whatever. And since Barizog was part cyborg, he can control the power. This is, I think I'm writing a scenario.
I really do agree that it would, that sense wise, we've had more build up towards, the change Cid taking the role, but at the same time, it almost seems like they might be leaning towards Bosco, reforming himself.
I think it's doubtful. It seems because, you know, it would be...
Doubtful, yes, but possible.
I don't know, because he showed up right away as a villain, as opposed to, like, and he's not controlled or anything. Like, he was a traitor, he was a bad guy. Whereas Cid was transformed into a bad guy, he wasn't really a bad person.
Well, technically, yes, but you could always just assume that he could have a change of heart.
Yeah, sure, but...
Weirder things have happened.
No, it's true, but I think they're leaning towards it being Cid.
You might be right.
Interestingly, we got a comment on one of our on I think our latest on the, our last episode saying, isn't it kind of funny to think about Sixth Ranger? But really, it's about a quarter of the way through the season, and it's around the time that the Sixth Ranger shows up. So
it is about right for the time.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna have Bosco reform. It seems like, cause, you know, they've had the thing about Sid, and I don't know.
And I do think I found it. What I mentioned before about the Sixth Ranger they didn't recognize.
Yeah.
For the very last episode of Hikari Sentai Mask Man, they did have a Sixth Ranger, a Mask X1.
Yeah.
It was like a predecessor to the powers. And like he joined the team for a brief little bit.
Okay, so according to the Power Rangers Wikia at powerrangers.wikia.com, the Morphing Grid, we've learned that Gokai Silver is a completely new character. So I guess it's not Sid. It's just a completely... Which is interesting. They're just going to get a new guy instead of...
So it's going to be neither of them, apparently.
I mean, neither of them. That's... He's going to show up at episode 17. Which is in two episodes. And he's apparently a teenager.
Maybe someone from Earth.
Yes, an Earthling teenager. So that's interesting. I mean, at least he's not 10, but, you know.
They'll have an official newest member of the team then, someone who's really not experienced.
Yeah, so our entire points were rendered moot by this revelation that I just found out. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it could be interesting. It'd definitely be fun to see if it's an interesting character, or if it's just a throwaway who shows up every once in a while when there's trouble.
No, I'm sure he'll travel with the team. Or at least in the, you know, near the later on he will, and maybe in the beginning they'll be like, we don't, dude, you're like 16. What are you doing here? You're a kid.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to wait and see, because we might find out in the next episode or two. It seems like it's going that way, that it'll be very soon when we get the new Ranger.
Well, you know, it says on the Morphing Grid Wikia that episode 17 is called The Amazing Silver-Colored Man.
Well, if that's true and not just someone making up crap on a wiki, then you could be right.
It sounds a lot like an episode of a Japanese television show.
You might be right.
Yes. So we will see that in two episodes, and I don't know. I guess I was kind of hoping it would be one of the other two guys, but I guess it's not. It's just they're just there.
I kind of like established characters joining teams like that.
Yeah. But I mean, when was the last time that happened?
Good question. I don't know.
In America, I think the last time that I guess RPM, they were established like an episode prior. As far as I remember, because I watched, I think those two episodes out of the whole season, I watched a couple, and those happened to be two of them. Let's see, who else? Before that, Maji Ranger, he came out of the not Maji Ranger in Mystic Force, he came out of the blue. SPD, he came out of the blue. In Jungle Fury, he came out of the blue. Ninja Storm, he was established in Ninja Storm. And
at least he was an established character in Ninja Storm.
Yeah, in Ninja Storm he was a main character, and then he became a Ranger. And I think since then I'd always been hoping that an established character would become a Ranger, and it I don't think it ever happened after that.
And you could almost say, like, for like Tommy, even though he became the Ranger like early on in his appearance, he was still the evil Ranger role, and he kind of stuck around as the character before he officially joined the team.
I guess if you want to say that, yeah, then I guess you could count not a Ranger. You know what I mean? It's Dino Thunder. You can count Dino Thunder. But I guess I think the rest of them, after that, and I think even before that, in Time Force he was established. And I guess
who was the Time Force Ranger again?
Eric.
Hmm.
The Quantum Ranger. And I guess he was Ryan was a little bit established in Lightspeed Rescue. But And I guess in Lost Galaxy, he doesn't really count, but he was kind of established. In Zio, obviously, Jason was an established character.
Hmm.
And I think that's it on the American side. I don't know anything about the Japanese side. Except that Shinkenger is very similar to Samurai in that he was just an old friend who showed up randomly. He wasn't established previously, I don't think.
True, they do tend to go that way, so I guess it is possible.
So I mean, you know, it often happens, but I guess they've kind of had foreshadowing. Sid even had a silver strand of hair. I guess it was just a red herring. A red herring.
It's gotta be red herring.
That was a pop name Scooby Doo. So, anyways, is that it? There's a lot of cool fight scenes in the episode, but anything else?
I do believe we have covered most of everything. Well, we do get a taste of things to come in the preview where we see that it's going to be the 10 Rangers show up to fight, and I guess somehow Marvelous is going to have to win on his own.
I guess he'll have to fight them all on his own. That would be weird.
I would just say screw it and just pull up the mech. I mean, even though it's only one person, they can't do the fancy attacks. They're 10 tiny people.
Yeah.
Unless he has a setting on that trumpet's like, trumpet, make my Rangers grow.
I like the trumpet is kind of a callback to the to Dragon Ranger's flute.
Which I was disappointed that he didn't summon the Dragon Sword, King Caesar.
That would have been awesome, but you know, and I don't know.
Wait, that actually could happen if they go the route of Marvelous trying to use his mech.
Yeah,
he could use the flute to summon King Caesar.
You know, he pulls out the trumpet and goes do 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 do. Except he plays it on the trumpet. It's not.
Oh god, if he could just summon all 10 other mechs, it would just be over for him.
I don't think they'll do that, but that'll be really cool.
Or better yet, what if he does? What if in his end of his trying to figure things out? What if he does find Akaret and he joins him to fight?
That would be really cool. I don't know. We'll have to see.
There'd be a twist if that was your sixth ranger.
Yeah, right. Akaret, that would be awesome. Like he transforms from Akaret into Gokai Silver.
Just directly, it's like I got these guys. Don't worry about it.
Like he's always Akaret because you know we never see him demorphed. So he's just always Akaret. I don't know. I feel like we were a little bit I was a little bit let down by the fact that we didn't see Toru Furuya as a demorphed Akaret in this episode.
He's a great guy.
Would have been awesome.
Good voice actor too.
That's why he's Akaret. You know, he does live action stuff too. That would have been.
He's Yamcha.
He's Yamcha. He's Yamcha. Yes, he is in fact Yamcha.
Actually, he was in a lot of major roles. He was the first main character in the Gundam series, Amuro Ray.
I was about to say that.
He was a samurai tuxedo mask in Sailor Moon.
Seiya.
He was Saint Seiya. He was in a lot of major roles.
He was. That's why he is the king. That's why he says Merry Christmas and or Happy New Year.
Yeah, but it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. And plus, it's getting very close to the movie coming out.
Yeah, we're getting close to the movie, and I don't
less
know,
than 2 weeks.
Hopefully, the movie. I don't think it will. I don't think the movie will be directly. You know, I don't think you'll have to watch it to get anything in the show. But
yeah, but you want to see all 35 Sentai come out with their mechs.
Of course, I want to see it. But hopefully I won't need to see it, because then I'll be confused. I'll be like, oh.
Hopefully, okay. Hopefully they'll reference it every single episode, and then you'll get more fights like that.
Yeah, right? So is that it?
I'm thinking so.
We've gone like 40 minutes just talking about the episodes, so I guess...
Actually, looking back at the trailer for the movie... I think one of the scenes they showed was actually the villain from the very first Sentai, Black Cross King.
Oh, that'd be cool. We did, by the way, get another, you know, ending sequence akin to the previous one that we got, where it's scenes from the movie. And yeah, interestingly, I love that when they said Turbo Ranger, I saw the Car Ranger. I'm like, did they mess up? Then I'm like, oh wait, no, there's the Turbo Rangers right there. But we saw a red car, we saw the red racer right in front and center. I'm like, haha, that's funny.
Yeah, that was always a fun little confusion there. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to see how this turns out. And before the movie comes out, we probably should watch some of the first Sentai.
Yeah.
I got a few of those episodes sitting there. I'm generally curious.
We will attempt to do that.
If only we could find someone who could sub every single episode of the series in about a couple of days.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you happen to have raws of every episode of Go Ranger, and you happen to speak fluent Japanese, and you happen to be really, really good at subbing, and you wanna get that done for us, please email us at podcastsentai@gmail.com.
Plugging. It's always good.
Also, you know, that offer still stands if you want to be like a pirate and get us that movie somehow.
Because we want to see it, and we can't go to Japan.
But,
that's
but I mean, you know, completely legally, right, Colton? Definitely get it to us in the most legal fashion possible.
Yeah, just make a copy of it. Leave like $20 on the on Toei's front desk. That should be good.
That sounds fair enough.
That's about the price of a reasonable DVD.
Yeah, yeah, an unreasonable DVD, actually.
Well, in Japan, it'd probably be not anywhere near a DVD price because they're ripped off their people, but, you know.
That's true. I mean,
if you're feeling generous, leave a 50.
$20 is a cheap Blu-ray here, so. I guess $50 would be a cheap Blu-ray in Japan, and we're getting like VCR quality, right? VHS quality recording.
That's more than fair.
I think $20 would be fair enough to drop at Toei's doorstep. I might need to cut this part out of the show because I don't know about the legal implications.
Yeah, we definitely should stop now and cut this out.
If you're a lawyer and you want to represent us in court, that email is also podcastsentai@gmail.com.
It's worth noting this is all joking. We're not serious.
Yes, no, this is definitely a joke, and we're covered under parody laws.
Huh?
I don't know. We're not serious. We do not actually want you to walk into the theater and record the movie for us. Don't do that. But if you happen to accidentally do that, we wouldn't be against, you know, you sending us a copy that you happen to do that of. You know, you're not doing it for us. You're just also sending it to us. That's fair enough, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, with that aside, I think that's it for the show, because my email isn't loading, so I have to assume we don't have any emails. So yes, that's it. That's it for the show.
That's it.
Colton. I just told people where they can email us to represent us if they're lawyers or if they want to send us a copy of the movie. But if they want to just ask us a question, what's that email?
That's podcastsentai@gmail.com.
What? That's the same email.
Yeah, we don't have specialized emails.
Who would have thunk it? Well, we could if we really wanted to. But
we have no reason to.
I mean, you know, I could go about it and... I mean, you know, you could send it to psprlawyer@iamkuhan.com, and that'll also find its way over to me. But, you know, I think let's keep it simple and send them all to podcastsentai@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, which nobody has, you can leave that at 662-SENTAI-0. That is 662-736-8240. And definitely, you know, leave us voicemails because we don't have any, and we'd love to hear your voice and hear you talk to us. And if you don't, you know, if you live in another country where this will be a long distance call, long distance international call, you can just, you know, make an MP3 and email it to podcastsentai@gmail.com, and we can play that too, because I know we have fans in other countries. So, you know, go ahead and send us emails. So that's it, right? That's it for the show?
I think so. I'm just reading from this link about if they've read this article right or something about the movie.
Oh, you know what? You got to follow us on Twitter, too, @SentaiRangers. And be sure to head over to, if you're not already there, if you listen to this on the podcast feed, pspr.iamkuhan.com, and that's where you can leave comments and stuff. It'll take you to collectiondx.com page. Those guys are hosting our files for us and stuff, and it's a lot of fun. You can leave comments, and you can talk to other commenters, and they'll be like, hey man, I love this episode, because you guys are so awesome. But here's where you were wrong about things. So definitely check that out. And I guess until next time, may the power protect you.